smartphone, they just want to record this for us.
There we go. Thanks, Brother DC. Appreciate that. Here, let me see what else. No, I'm just kidding. Some of us would freak out if the preacher grabbed a hold of your phone, wouldn't you? You better be glorying in the Lord, not in what's on that screen. All the thoughts that went through your mind. What would happen if Don picked up my phone? I would forgive you, but I might get some lessons that I might have. Need to share God's word with us. When you think of the word glory, we don't use that very much. Old glory, we talk about our flag. Obviously, God's word and our songs, you know, there's multiple hymns that talk about glory. And the end of our passage this morning, you know, our lesson text, talked about glory in the Lord. And just our regular, you know, Uncle Webster's dictionary talks about glory being an honor won by notable achievements, or magnificence, or great beauty. You know, talking about a noun from the verb, to take great pride in or pleasure in. So I ask us this morning, according to those understandings of the word glory, what notable achievements have you done for Jesus? What great magnificence or beauty do you see in Jesus in your life, our Lord, our Savior? Do you take great pride and pleasure in being a child of the Most High God, in His holy word, in Jesus? How many of us thanked Jesus this last week for something that happened in our lives? Thank you, Jesus, right? For being here. I thank Jesus this morning for my wife landing safely in Denver. She's in Denver for a business conference for part of the week this week. I thank Jesus that my fob worked when I started the vehicle this morning, because it had been finicky. I haven't had access to my wife's car. I say wife's car, but we share them. We thank Him for little things. We glory in things that happen to us daily in our lives. And as we look at our passage this morning about glorying in the Lord, I keep hearing this question. This is my calling. What is my calling? People might even ask you, what is your calling? Well, I hope this passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians this morning, actually our lesson all comes from the first chapter of Corinthians. Corinthians was a mega center, and one of the most prominent centers in Greece at the time. That Paul went there, according to Acts, and began a church there, established a church, converted people to Jesus there. And he writes this letter to them. Paul the apostle of Jesus says, "For you see your calling." So I ask us, when we talk about callings today, people want to use the word ministries, okay? "For you see your calling." What kind of ministries did they have back then? We're going to read about whatever their callings were here. And I'd like for us to apply those to our lives and make sure that we don't go above and beyond in our lives of what our calling really should be in our lives. "Brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." We've read before what Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring nothing to the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, as it is written, 'He who glories, let him glory in the Lord.'" Let him take great pleasure in the Lord. Let him notice the great accomplishments and notable achievements that Jesus has done that nobody else could ever do in the history of the world. Because we can't provide our own righteousness. We can't provide our own sanctification, and we can't provide our own redemption. But because Jesus has done that and we are in him, we can glory in the Lord. I watched football yesterday, and obviously when you talk about base things and despised things and weak things and you apply sports to them, okay, how many of us want to play the weaker team? How many of us want to play the weaker opponent? I'll ask a question. There's a Bible app that asks all kind of Bible questions, and I do that at least once, hopefully every day, sometimes twice. And one of the questions was, were the disciples from Israel or from Judah or from Galilee or from Judah and Galilee? So it asked all the questions. It said, where are they all from? And I thought to myself, well, certainly Jesus wouldn't pick them all just from one spot. And I know a bunch of them were Galilean because of the way they talked. And the answer to the question was they were all from Galilee. All of them. He didn't go to Jerusalem and pick apostles or disciples. He went right to Galilee. Now, all the people he took from different places and different walks of life, the majority of them were fishermen, but they were also all a tent maker. There were other different things, Matthew, tax collector. So there were all types of different folks that he chose to help establish and proclaim his glory and his story, the good news. But I ask us, when we look for Jesus, do we look for him in the weaker things and the debased things? Or do we follow the world and we want to apply worldly standards to our spiritual lives? Folks, there's congregations that won't let somebody without a college education or a college degree speak for them. Okay? I have a working man's PhD. That's what I've told people before. Could you imagine if they had that restriction upon the disciples and apostles when they were listening to them? And or Jesus. I just use that as an example for us, folks, to recognize that our calling is to share the good news. That's our calling. I could say, well, I'm called to be a carpenter. I'm called to be a race car driver. I'm called to be a grandpa. I'm called to be a husband. Folks, those are choices I've made in my life. I've been blessed in all of those choices. Okay? But my calling is to serve the Lord and glorify him in the choices I've made in my life. If I said God made me be a carpenter, well, I had a choice to go back to work on oil rigs. Had a tool pusher call me and say, hey man, I'm starting to drill again. I'm working for this company. Would you come work for me? And I decided to stay in the building trades. For you see your calling, brethren, and not many are wise according to the flesh. Not many are mighty, not many are noble. And so when I ask, what do you think about when you think about spiritual might and spiritual noble? And being called of God. We talked about it in Bible class this morning. Being able to say no to Satan, kind of in a nutshell. We talked about the color of Brother Tom's shirt. Sister Hannah brought up the fact that in the first step of if having talk with our brother, that we need to make sure, okay, glory in God, that it's really a sin matter and not just a personal opinion matter. Now, I hope, obviously, none of you like white shirts, except for me. Okay?
And if you don't like white shirts, I ask you to forgive me for wearing them every Sunday morning. That's all I got in my closet are white shirts. I don't want to have to choose what color shirt I wear and have my pants match. I put the white shirt on, it matches whatever I'm wearing. Problem solved, ladies. You that have closets big enough to park a car in. I'm jesting a little bit. I have a garage big enough to park multiple cars in, so there's no difference to that than there is for the closet full of stuff. We had a... What we do, we need the glory of the Lord, folks. We need to rise above being petty in our lives. And following Jesus is not being petty in our lives. People consider you relying on Jesus and an almighty God is being weak. It's not. It's not.
Let me use this as an example, too. I'm using sports again this morning. There's a big difference between the way Mike Ditka coaches and coached.
And who's the guy that coached the Colts when they went to the Super Bowl?
Tony Dungy.
Two different personalities. They had equal successful results. So my question to you is, what do you perceive Jesus as? A Tony Dungy or a Mike Ditka? Or a combination there? Or do you perceive him as the Son of God, who didn't make the mistakes Tony Dungy did, and he didn't make the mistakes Mike Ditka did? But we all compare certain things in our lives like that. Some of us like Tony, some of us like Mike, some of us like both of them. We as Christians should love both of them and like both of them. I use that just as an example, folks. That our calling and Jesus, being in Jesus, I was able to make good choices this week at work. I had struggles. It rained on me at work, okay? But I withstood the rain. Because I relied on God for his wisdom, for his righteousness to make the right decisions, knowing that I was doing the right thing, and I was glorying in the Lord. Whatever comes my way, Jesus, I need your help. How do I address this situation? How do I address these accusations? How do I address somebody that really doesn't see the big picture? They just see their little world. This is how I'm treated. This isn't going right for me. Okay? And I don't teach preschool. These are grown men. Okay? Make good money. Do I Mike Ditka them? Do I Tony Dungy them? Or do I Jesus them? And I Jesus. I got to. I'll be honest with you. There's times when I want to go Mike Ditka on.
Thanks be to God, I have his holy word that directs my heart, his spirit that guides me to make the choices to follow Jesus wherever I have choose to follow him in my calling. Here's what Paul said in the beginning of this chapter. He said, Paul... called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Called to be saints. With all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both ours, theirs and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you
come short of no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, Paul says, I'm called to be an apostle. And then he says, to all you folks called to be saints. So I ask you, do you look around this morning at your brothers and sisters in Christ and see saints? And I say, if you don't, are you looking through the eyes of Christ? Are you looking through the eyes of forgiveness? Are you looking through the eyes of redemption and sanctification that we just read, that we are in because of Jesus? Or do you look at, I can't remember the color you used, but it looks rust color to me. Okay? Autumn leaves rust. Brother Tom's shirt. Tom, for some reason, your shirt's drawing the attention this morning. He's glad he chose that. See? But we're called to be saints in every place by the grace of God, who has enriched us in everything, who's given us all knowledge and all utterance, that you come short of no gift. Is it a gift to be able to say, I forgive you? Is it a gift to be able to say, I love you? Is it a gift to be able to say, I'm sorry? Is it a gift to be able to say, let me tell you about Jesus and what he does in my life? Is it a gift to be able to say, I'd be a mess without Jesus? I can say that, folks. I'd be a mess in my life without Jesus. When I say a mess, you know, you can describe a mess however you want. I won't describe that for you this morning. But we should be glorying in the Lord that he has changed us and continues to change us. As Brother Brad said, I'm not done growing yet this morning. We are not. And that should be something we relish in, that we glory in, that God is not finished with us yet. God is so much bigger than us. How many of us like to finish a project? I want to be done with it, okay? Yeah. Those of you that are taking tests and still in schools, I want to be done with this course. I want to get this test over with. I want to get this project at the home done with, right? Whatever it is. And then we get the same feeling sometimes in our spiritual lives. I want to be done with this. I want to be done with going to church. I want to be done with reading my Bible. I want to be done with following Jesus. But folks, that's a very dangerous thing to consider and to feel. That's not glorying in the Lord. That's not being thankful for your redemption and recognizing his holiness and his greatness and that he is the true and living God in our lives. That's Satan trying to trick us into saying, I've done enough. But it's not what we can do. Once again, we're not earning this. It's Jesus that brought all the redemption and the salvation and the righteousness to our lives. The glory is in the Lord. Brother Paul continues in 1 Corinthians and says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized into the name of Paul? plead. Paul uses the word, I plead with you. He's not pleading with the pagan world. He's not going on to 6 o'clock news and pleading with people to do the right thing. These are people that said, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I've been baptized for the remission of my sins. I'm in the church. I'm a child of the Most High God. And he's pleading with them that they speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among themselves, perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Then you recognize there's contentions. And just be a Christian. Just follow Jesus. You don't have to have a label. You don't have to be a Dick or a Dungy. You just need to be a Christian. Christ is not divided. I'll answer Paul's question. Is Christ divided? No. It is us. It's people. In our desires and understandings and learnings and things of the world that make things change. Not Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, when it says you all speak the same thing, it doesn't mean you have to speak like somebody from Michigan like me. Okay? I still think I sound like everybody else, and I still have people say, where are you from? And I hope I don't speak too fast for you people that are from Kentucky. Because y'all speak a little slower down there. That's not what they're talking about. Not talking about dialect or some of the words we use. Talking about speaking the words of truth. The gospel. Same thing. Same thing. Tell people about Jesus. I'm afraid sometimes, folks, in our lives that we try to convert people to church instead of Jesus. And because we have good intentions and we care, okay, but it's Jesus. It's glory in the Lord. It's not glory in the church. It's glory in the Lord. The church is a byproduct of following Jesus. Forgiveness is a byproduct of following Jesus. Saying I'm sorry is a byproduct of following Jesus. Telling people you love them, no matter what, is a byproduct of following Jesus. Now, I do learn that sometimes from my brothers and sisters in Christ, but much more abundantly, I learn it from Jesus. And if you're tired of hearing about Jesus, you're in the wrong place. I can't hear enough about Jesus in my life. Folks, that's how precious he is. That's how great he is. I love football. I can get tired of football. Okay? I don't watch ESPN because I don't want to hear what everybody else says about football. Oh, sometimes I even turn off the announcer just because I want to watch football. Let us not get in the habit of not glorying in the Lord. Let's not go to church and turn Jesus off. Turn the sound off so we don't hear what God's word has to say to us. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Our calling is to preach the gospel, to tell people about Jesus and his saving grace and God's love. God's book of love, folks. It's not a book of do's and don'ts. It's a book of love to help us in our walk of life and to help us have eternal life. How can a man on a tree save us from our sins on a cross? I don't know.
scientifically, mathematically, physics, periodical chart. I can apply all that stuff to the cross. Guess what? Doesn't matter. Those useful things in our lives? It's certainly. Things God created for us to know? Certainly. But the simpleness, that's what God said saves us. Blood of Christ. That's how God wanted to save mankind. Through His Son on the cross. The power of God, the message of the cross. Preach the gospel. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. See, now we look at all that in front of that whole chapter. In our lesson text, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise are called according to the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, which are the things which are despised, God has chosen. The things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh to glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Folks, this morning, glorying in the Lord, calling. Please remember this week who became wisdom for us from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We are called to be saints. Paul pleaded with them to speak the same thing. Are we pleading with each other as Paul pleads? The same things. Contentions. Is Christ divided? No, He is not. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. To preach Christ crucified, He had to die for us. That's how ugly sin is in our lives. You see your calling this morning to follow Jesus. If you haven't committed to following Him and you're not in Christ, you haven't had your sins washed away by His blood, by being buried in baptism, we invite you to do so this morning. As we stand and sing, selected hymn this morning.
Jesus, come to Jesus.